Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
When you receive from the Spirit, you're not receiving from your mind. It doesn't come from you, but it does come from the Holy Spirit in you. So it comes through you. So I'm going to have you just relax. Don't try to figure it out. Don't strive. Just relax and receive. The Holy Spirit is increasing you. See him putting something in you. For one person, he said it's long awaited. There's someone here, you're going to get you're either going to receive your tongues or you're going to get an increase in your prayer languages. You know, there's language, there's languages, and then there's songs. And if you know how, you can actually pull on the Spirit of God. You know, when someone's releasing something, you can actually pull. You know, you can pull a healing. You can pull revelation. You can pull understanding. See, real revelation, understanding, it doesn't come from your head. It comes from your spirit. Okay? It's a different source. And God wants you to have more, but sometimes if you're too stuck in your head, sometimes that's why music just helps us to slip away for a minute and allow ourselves to relax enough to receive. See, Jesus wants you to have what he has. He desires to manifest himself in the earth. The only way he can do it is through his kids. Okay? This should not be strange to us. This should be normal to us. It was normal to Paul. Right? We're citizens of heaven. This should be quite normal. Wash them, Lord. Wash them. Wash them. Cleanse and purify. Wash away every spirit of torment. We wash it away. Every grieving, every wounding, we wash it away. We release your people from every doubt and fear, every worry and trepidation. We release them. Go from here, devil. Go from here. Go from here, bondage. Go from here, weights that beset. Go from here, addiction. Go. Go from here, anger at God. Go from here, you're a lying spirit. I command every accusing spirit that accuses of guilt, that tries to label you. Jesus has torn that label off. We wash it away. No more. We release you in spirit. We release forever. We release. I break every cord, every tie in the spirit that has bound you to a stronghold. I see worry and fear that has kept someone bound. I break the tie. I break that tie. I break it. I take authority over that worry and that doubt. Angst. Go from here. Don't pick it up again on your way out. Don't pick it up again when it tries to come say, no, no, you're not mine. Go find somebody else. Go find a dog. Go find a cat. But you can't touch me. I belong to Jesus. I see labels coming off. Someone in here, you were labeled by people. People have put tags on you, what they thought you were, but you're not. And Jesus says, I am freeing you forever from that identity that is a lie. He says, I am freeing you forever from that identity that is not a true identity. That's not who you are. If I say that's not who you are, that's not who you are. I'm releasing you today, he says. See a cloud hovering over some. It's a cloud of God's glory, a cloud of his presence. And in this, the Holy Spirit has put some of the things that you've been asking for, crying out for, and needing. Even some things you don't even fully know what it is to ask for, but you know you need something. I see him releasing into you these things for days to come, so you'll be ready. You're already ready. Already ready. Already ready. Thanks, Joe. Perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Now, whether you know it or not, you can really do that anytime. You don't need a meeting to do it. You can actually learn how to do it at home. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit lives with you. And whether you know this or not, everything you need. You know what the Bible says? It says all things that pertain to life and godliness have already been given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness. And I personally believe the Holy Spirit is in charge of releasing those things to us. We already have them by covenant right. Jesus died for us to have them. The Holy Spirit, he's here to help us walk into it because we really don't know how. So when you're at home alone, you have the same freedom to enter the realms of God as you do here. Sometimes it might be easier here at first, but it's just while you're learning, okay? God taught me how to soak, and it was a great mystery to me. But I got to a place where I could go, even when I was at my job, my secular job. I found a little hideaway where no one could see me and where I could feel quite safe to sit there alone with my eyes shut. And I could just sink into a state with the Holy Spirit. And I would just, you know, I wouldn't really talk, but under, you know, without talking, I would be worshiping. You know, just without speaking, I'd be just telling the Lord how much I love him, giving glory to Jesus. And I found that he would increase me as I sat there. He would impart to me. He would anoint me. See, because you got to understand it does not come through the gateway of your mind. Now, your mind is very important because we're to use that for study. It's very important. So I don't want to discount that. It says study to show yourself approved unto God. Because otherwise you might be deceived. If you don't understand the word, if you don't know the word pretty well, you could be deceived by spirits that are not the Holy Spirit. But so the word is the foundation, but once you've built a foundation, the one that gives you wisdom and revelation, his name, one of his names is the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. That's his name. And so it's for me, I actually believe it's impossible to do Christianity properly without the Holy Spirit. It it's impossible to do it without the Word. Amen. But it's also impossible to do it without the Holy Spirit. And for too long, I think, the church has tried to do it in its own strength and without the help of the Spirit. We really can't do anything. And we've had confusion about the source. Now, Jesus, we know in the Word, Jesus died for us to have all these things. We can see all that he died for us to have is looking at the promises. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises that are already ours, already ours by covenant right because of his blood, right? Because of his blood. He purchased them for you. Every promise is yours legally. You own it by covenant right. You say, well, I don't see it yet. Right. Your job is to pull it by faith, okay? God wants to teach you how to do that, but who teaches you? The Holy Spirit. You have to ask him, teach me how to do that. Teach me about faith. I hear him talk about faith. I don't get it. Teach me. He will teach you, right? You say, I want to learn to pray. I don't pray very well. Teach me to pray. Okay, I'll teach you. It's a relationship. Now, I want to talk about, there's something I have a picture of, and I don't know how to describe it, so I'm going to do my best. But if you could imagine one output with two sources of input, or what I'm trying to say is something can come from your mind, or it can come from your spirit by the Holy Spirit. It really can't do both simultaneously. Now, you can operate in both simultaneously. And how we know this is you can pray in tongues and solve a math problem at the same time. You cannot read a book and solve a math problem at the same time. You know why? Because those are both in your mind. Right? Yes. That's a little hard to do. But when your spirit is operating, it is a different source. So sometimes people who are really analytical, they're thinkers. It's very hard for them at first to receive their tongues because they're thinking and thinking, and it's hard for them to get out of their head for long enough. I had a very hard time receiving my prayer language. And so then the devil comes and he says, well, you know, what's wrong with me? How come everybody else gets it? Maybe God doesn't want me to have it. Maybe I'm all messed up. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. All lies. God fully desires for every born-again believer to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit with all the gifts, all of them. God desires that, okay? And so, but what happens is if you're always in your head, always operating out of your thinker, it's hard to flip the switch to the other source of input. Imagine, I'm trying to think of a way to describe this, but imagine if you had two books. Now, you could read one or you could read the other. You know, be pretty hard to do both at the same time. If you tried, you'd, you know, be a little confusing. A sentence here, sentence there, paragraph here, paragraph, that would be hard. So if you imagine that one of those books is your mind or your mental understanding, which again, this is good. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. All of them. Isn't that great? So we're not going to say that we don't want to use our mind. We do. But I will tell you this, I started to hear God a lot better when I learned how to switch my mind off for the moment. Mind, be quiet. You don't get to have an opinion. Your logic doesn't count. I want to know what God says. You see? And when I would like shut that door, the other would open. Because our head sometimes, if you're a strong thinker, I know a couple of real strong thinkers that it took them years to get the Holy Ghost, but once they got it and once they learned how to flip that switch, they can move as good as anybody I've ever met, hear as well as anybody, be used of God in the gifts. So don't ever say, I don't know, maybe it's not for me. It is for you. It's more about learning how, okay? Some people are more prone to be able to study. Some people have a real gift to study. You know, most teachers, true teachers, have a real gift of study. Some people can study for 16 hours a day, and man, that's just their favorite thing. And generally speaking, they're the teachers. You know, they're brilliant. And thank God for them. They are a gift to the body. Thank God for them. That's super important. And then you have people who are prophetic, and they're more prone to prayer, and they're more prone to listening, they're more prone to the presence. But where the real power is when there's a strong balance of both, right? there's a strong balance of both, then we can walk in some power. Because the Bible says the Word and the Spirit agree. That's what it says. The Word and the Spirit agree. But you cannot be in the, if you pretend that one book is the Word of God, yay. Yes, you want to be in it all the time. But there are times when you're going to say, okay, I'm putting that book down, and Holy Ghost, I want to hear from you. Because why? He's in you if you're born again. Right? If you're born again, now this is my opinion. I've never heard anybody else say this. But I actually believe that that's the new wineskin. Of being born again is when you got a new wineskin. Because unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it, can't be part of it, can't look into it, isn't an heir of God, isn't a joint heir with Jesus Christ, isn't begotten of the Father, right? Isn't born from above. Unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. But if a man is born again, now he's got a new wine skin. And now God can pour in the new wine, which is what? It's the Holy Spirit. So once you're born again and you've received the seal of inheritance, like the promise, it's like God, you're sealed with a spirit as a deposit to prove that you're saved. Yet in Acts, there's a second experience. You know, several places actually in the book of Acts where the apostles went to some people. They were believers. They'd been baptized into repentance. They knew about Jesus. They were saved. And the apostles said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, well, we haven't heard that there was a Holy Spirit. We didn't even know about that. And that implies, in fact, pretty much states, it's a second experience, right? There's more. So I think most people in here probably gotten that. But what I'm trying to say is, if you're born again, you get a new wineskin. And then when you receive the infilling or the baptism or the flooding, hallelujah, or the being plunged into the depth of the Holy Spirit, that's a whole different thing. And now what happens is the way that God will talk to you, he'll bring, what did he say? He'll bring to remembrance all things whatsoever I've spoken to you. Well, how did he speak it to you? Through the Word. So if you don't give him something to bring to your remembrance, if you don't have enough Word in you, how will you know the voice of the Spirit? How will you know? How will Satan not just eat you for lunch and trick you? How will you know? You won't know. But if you get enough Word in you, I'm telling you, then when the Holy Spirit speaks, he'll use the Word. He'll use the Word. He'll bring scriptures to your remembrance. You'll be like, what do I do? Oh, bing. Before you can ask even the question, before you can even say, Father, what do I do about this? Bing. This scripture just bubbles up. You're like, oh yeah, okay, thanks. Right? It's amazing the way God speaks. And God wants to train his people to live and move and have their being in him. What does it say? If you abide in me, live, dwell. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. That's old King James for whatever you want. It is. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's not just this casual thing. That's a place of living and dwelling. And I remember reading that scripture when I was young in the Lord, and I kind of knew I wasn't there yet. But you know, over the years, what happens is you can learn how to abide in him, and you can eat the word and do the word. You don't become, pardon the expression, you don't become the word without doing it. Hearing doesn't do it. You have to have a deep abiding commitment to do it, even when it's not easy, even when it's not fun, even if it wasn't what you wanted to do. When you don't feel like forgiving, you don't really get a choice. Actually, you could refuse, but to refuse it keeps you out of abiding. See, when you get hungry enough to abide in him, and if you ever get a real taste of God, you're smitten forever. Nothing else will do. If you ever get a real good drink of the Holy Ghost, you're just wrecked. For anything else, normal life, not interesting. Nothing else will do. There's no amount of fun. You know, I'm a fun haver. I love to travel. I like to see see the world, and I can have fun. I can do that, but none of it is fulfilling. It's fun, but it's not deeply fulfilling. It's a whole different thing. Have you ever been deeply fulfilled? Like with a satisfaction, that's not even the best word, but it's being so deeply satisfied in him. You really don't care about anything. It's a deep, abiding satisfaction with whatever he wants to do is okay with me. It doesn't matter if I live here or there. You know, years ago, I wanted to get out of Chicago with everything I had. I mean, even as a little kid, I used to say, boy, when I grow up, I'm getting out of here. Out of here. You know, because I grew up in a suburb. And I liked the farmland. My grandparents lived on a farm. I wanted the country, thank you. And when I grew up, God kept doing things to keep me here. It finally became evident that he had a plan, at least for now, and it's here. But you know what? Now my want to changed because I'm so happy. And happy isn't even the best word. I'm so fulfilled in him. Deeply satisfied that as long as I'm in him, I don't really care where you put me. It doesn't matter to me. I couldn't care less. He's told me for now to stay in my house. It isn't the house I might have picked. I need a little bit more space, I'll be honest. But you know what? If I'm there to go home to be with Jesus, I will be the happiest person you probably know because I've learned that he is my home. And as long as I'm abiding in him, there's just such a deep drink of satisfaction. And that grows every year. It grows. God wants to give you what life is about. This is what life is about. It's not about all this stuff. The world, from the minute you're born, the world is clamoring to present you with what they think you need, what they think will make you happy. Well, if you had this, or if you had that relationship, or if you had this money, or hey, you know, look at all the marketing. Oh, my. How I made $30,000 a week by doing this simple thing. Well, you big fat liar. Come on. And it's like, you know, it's just everywhere. And what they're trying to do is pull on your senses and get you to think, you know, if I just had that, if I just had that, then I'd be happy. And it's a trick of the enemy because even if you had it, you've heard Lori's testimony, she got it all. She had it all. She had like 11 houses. She paid for her first house with cash. God, you know, she did that. And you know what? At the end, she said, this isn't any fun. I'm not happy. This isn't fulfilling. This is it. You know, they told me to be successful. I'm successful. And this is it. She wasn't happy. My dad was a brilliant man. He was an engineer, civil engineer. And he worked his way up to president of his firm and CEO. He was very, very smart. And at 53, he quit. Just quit. Left, divorced my mom, and moved away. And you know what he was saying? This didn't do it. I chased the dream. I had all the stuff. He made a lot of money. He had the house. He had the family. You know, 5 kids and a dog and 2 cars and a picket fence. You know, back in that day, that was the thing. And he wasn't happy. He wasn't fulfilled. And what I'm saying is there is one thing that fulfills, and you can spend years chasing around and finally saying, you know, nothing did it for me. People chase relationships. I've seen people chase marriage for years. They chase trying to latch on to somebody because somehow that'll fulfill them. No, it won't. If you aren't fulfilled when you come to that marriage, I'm going to tell you, you probably won't be fulfilled in it. Because now you got your problems and their problems. Boy, howdy. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. And now what's happened is your new assignment is to minister to their needs and hope they'll minister to yours. But, oh, wait, what if they're not able? What if they're not healed enough? Now you've got twice as many problems. I'm just being brutally honest here. So there's this place that God is desiring to bring us into, to fill us so full of God, where we have such a deep abiding contentment that it really doesn't matter what happens. Paul said he'd learned in all things how to be abased, how to abound. He knew how to walk in joy. He knew how to walk in fulfillment and satisfaction. He knew how to have it all and how to have nothing. He knew how to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. There's great godliness with contentment is great gain. That's a scripture. And it's true, because when you live in that place, first of all, let me just say this. When you live in that place, the Bible says all things are yours. You say, well, I don't see them. Well, when you live in that place, it's really easy to reach into heaven and pull it. When you don't live in that place, you can dance around and beg and pray and fast and do all the stuff and whine and jump up and down and not get it, even though it already belongs to you by covenant right, because you're trying to do it in the flesh, and the flesh achieves nothing. How thrilling. Do you know that some people pray for years to get something, and they see it in the Bible and they go, I don't get it. Here it is. I'm praying. What's the deal? You ever been there? Some people even become angry with God and justify themselves. Hey, I don't get it, God. You said this. You didn't do it. Therefore, the fault must be with you, because I'm fine. I'm telling the truth. If that's your condition, read the last couple of chapters of Job. Read them. Go home and read them. That's your assignment. That's your prescription. I'm writing you a prescription. Go home and read it. Because what happens is, you know, Job was a good man. He was the most upright in all the earth. He had these kind of obnoxious friends that are trying to tell him stuff, and it wore on him. And the guy had a hard time. You know, we get crabby. We think we're pretty good, but I'll tell you, you get in a trial that's long enough, you get cranky. You might think you're oh so holy, and a little trial comes, and then another one, and then, oh wait, another, and another, another, and I'm telling you what, after a while, you get a little irritable. You know, I'd like to say that's not true, but we are human. And, you know, they were wearing on Job. I mean, think about it. The guy had boils. He's scraping his skin. I mean, he lost his family. I mean, it stank. And they're telling, well, you must be in sin. And he gets kind of cranky, and he starts to talk about, you know, kind of justifying himself. Hey, you know. And then God shows up. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying. God says, were you there? Were you there? And I almost think they should have put in, were you there, smarty pants? Were you there, Mr. Know-it-all? You who justify yourself and discredit me, really? Were you there? And he goes on and on. I mean, it's terrifying. And Job claps his hand over his mouth. He repents. And I think a lot of us have done it. I did it years ago before I was, you know, and thank God for his mercy. God could have struck me with lightning, but he didn't. He was gracious and merciful. God's trying to bring us to a place where we understand. I'm going to say something really basic that I think most of the church doesn't honestly know. I'm not putting them down, but they don't teach this in the seminaries. Okay? Most people have never been taught that true Christianity is not performing the do's and don'ts for God. So if we don't know better than that, we read and we say, okay, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, I'll try. Okay, and we're not supposed to do that. Okay, I'll try. Oh, wait, I failed. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm a bad person. And you get in the cycle. That's called religion. Never works, never has. True Christianity is this. Lord, I have no ability to do this. I have tried. I cannot. But you can do it through me. Fill me with the new wine and teach me. Let that Spirit of God teach me. And more than teach me, do it through me. Corrie Ten Boom, y'all know who Corrie Ten Boom was? Okay, Corrie Ten Boom was in a terrible concentration camp, and she watched her sister die in that camp, and she watched her father be beat to death with a shovel by one of the guards. Okay. She was in her 40s. I think she was, if I remember right, she was about 41 when they put her in there. After she got out, she went all over the world and began to preach. And one day she was in a place and she began to talk about forgiveness, and she was teaching people how to forgive and to forgive and how important it was. And at the end of the message, she came out and there stood the man that had beat her father to death with a shovel. And he didn't know she knew who he was, but she knew who he was. He said, I have become saved since then. I am so sorry I was in that camp. Can you forgive me? And she said, Lord, now this is Christianity at its best. She said, Lord, I can't. I can't do it. But Lord, will you forgive him through me? And she felt the power of God go into her head threw her arm, and she felt her arm go up and take this man's hand, and she felt the love of God flow through her for him. That's Christianity. You can't do it, but he can and wants to do it through you. And that's the true grace of God. It's him doing through you what you can't do. And let's say you're really smart. Let's say you're really a genius, and there are some things you're really good at. It's still not as good as God would do through you. So you need to put your abilities, burn them. You know, burn the bad, burn the good, burn all the successes, all the big rewards you got for being smart or whatever your deal was. And come to God with nothing. I am nothing, but you're everything. And you doing it through me is always going to be perfect. Because if I don't screw it up, if I don't mess it up, if I can say it just the way you're saying it, and I don't add my opinion, or if I can use my hands to build it just the way you're doing it, I don't get in the way, it will come out perfect. But if I get in there, I'm going to botch it up because I'm human, because we fall short. And even with all our brilliance, which we think is so smart, we don't have the ability of God. Well, we do, but it must flow through us. And we have to learn. This is the key to Christianity. Learn to make way for the Holy Spirit to do it through you. Live a life that's constantly saying, Holy Spirit, do this through me. Holy Spirit, I don't have the words we've given to me. How do you think we preach? We don't come with, unless he downloads it ahead of time, I'm clueless about what the sermon will be. Unless he may give me a springboard, which means like one thought. He may give me a scripture, but quite often I'll stand up here and I'm telling you, I don't have a clue. Not word one, not an idea, not a picture, not a thought. And I could look like a real fool. But I've learned over the years how to say, Holy Ghost, what do you want to say to your people? What do you want to do? And I've learned, you know, over time, you may say, well, I don't hear that way. You will. You know who's going to teach you? He is. I'm not saying don't go to a prophetic class, but the real teacher of the prophetic is the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, how come I hear you sometimes and I don't hear you others? Learn to know him, fellowship with him, ask him, talk to him. He is Jesus Christ in spirit form. They're not two different people. The Trinity is a bit confusing to people. People think they're three different people, and I can see why we think that, and I used to kind of be confused about it. Because it says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, that seems like two, doesn't it? But Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Father took bodily form. All the Bible says, Lord, give it back to me. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in him. Think about that. In his mortal body, in his mortal body, dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in that body. The Father was in him. The Holy Spirit was in him. And guess who the Holy Spirit is? Spirit of the Father. Yeah. He said, the works that I do, the Father in me does them. How's the Father in him? By the Holy Spirit. So you have in your house and in your mortal body the one that can teach you how to do everything. And if you learn how to yield, see, most people will yield only when they're ready to yield. That's a foolish lifestyle. They say, well, I'm going to do everything my way. And then when I have a really big decision about, you know, do you want me to move to Montreal or Florida? Then I'll turn that over to you. And you'll make that decision. It'll come out great because, oh, wait, I gave that to you. But these other decisions, well, I'm doing those. And you see failure and failure and problems. But wisdom is with everything. Holy Spirit, what do you think about this? Show me how to do that. Give me wisdom on this. People will actually think you're smart. Because the decisions you will make, there have been decisions the Holy Spirit gave me that I'll tell you in the natural, they didn't look so good. But I know him. over time, you'll get to know him so well. I'm telling you, God wants this for you. You say, I don't think he wants it for me. Yes, you. Give me a big sign that says, this means you, every person in this room, every person in the body. He wants you so close to him, and you can have it in this life. Yes, you can. That suddenly you're just walking along and you just get this, like, arrested, they call it. Like this, wait a minute, what's going on? And then you kind of go, Holy Ghost, what's that about? And he'll tell you what to do. Or he'll stop you from doing something. Or he'll give you wisdom. He'll give you a word of wisdom. It happens all the time in the walk of the Spirit. See, the walk of the Spirit is this. It's letting him live his life through you. He desires to do through you what he did through Jesus. How do you think Jesus did the stuff? How do you think Jesus raised the dead? He said, the works that I do, the Father in me is doing them. Holy Ghost in me, Holy Ghost in me. Holy Ghost, Spirit of the Father in me. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus' flesh, his physical body, could not do that. And I'll prove it to you. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He said it. I didn't say it. Jesus Christ said about himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. In other words, in his flesh, except for the Spirit of God, right? So his flesh and yours and mine is a house, a temple of the Spirit of God. You're the house of heaven on the earth, and the Holy Spirit desires to find somebody, anybody, that will do what Jesus did and yield their vessel to him. Yield their movements, yield their voice, yield their temperament, yield their attitude. Now, we don't get it perfect because we're still human. But we, like he can say, Paul's scripture, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That's the same thing that what Jesus said. Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Basically, same idea. Your flesh has no ability to raise Lazarus from the dead. Your flesh has no ability to heal people. Your flesh doesn't even have the real ability to study the scriptures properly, because revelation comes from him. So I'll tell you how it works for me. I wish I was better at study. I love the word. But you know what I discovered? I'll read it. I'll study it. I'll look up my stuff. I'll go to Bible Hub. I'll look behind the scenes and look at the Greek and try to figure it out. And usually I'll get a little something. But then I go away from there. And I'm just hanging out with God, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what you meant. You see, because the Spirit of revelation opens my heart to see. It opens the eyes of my heart to give me understanding of what I couldn't have gotten in my brain, right? Because our brain, since the fall, thank you very much, Adam, our brain doesn't have the capacity to hold the mind of God. It isn't big enough. So we were given the mind of Christ in spirit form. Where is it in your born-again spirit? And so the problem we have is we're so oriented to do everything according to the flesh. I'm telling you, I don't want to speak evil of anybody, but I'm just going to tell you some true stories here without implicating anybody. I used to have this idea that pastors and leaders, man, they've been through seminary, they've had years of experience, and they just know all this stuff. And you know what I found? Some of them are so broken. Can't tell anybody. So wounded, so hurting, so messed up. Getting beat up by the sheep all the time, getting bitten all the time. Warfare all the time, but don't know this. And because they don't know this, they don't have a hiding place. So they're trying to do it the best they can in the flesh, because seminary never taught them. And I'm talking about some friends of mine, people I know well, that I care very much for. And what I discovered was, and people say, well, I was never told this in church. You know why? Because they didn't know either. And they were broken too. I went to seminary. They don't tell you this stuff. They don't know this stuff. I love the fact, I still take classes. I love classes. I take classes. I sat under this guy who was a Hebrew scholar who taught Hebrew scholars. I'll tell you, it was a blast, and I loved it. And he's a good man of God, and I'm thankful. I sat, I don't know how, there was like 30 classes under that guy. I mean, 30, hours of teaching. It really blessed me. I'm going to tell you something. He's nothing next to the Holy Ghost. He can't give me the spirit of revelation like the Holy Ghost can. And see, people have deferred to man for so long, it's become the thing. They'll come to me and ask, and I think, well, excuse me, but why aren't you asking him? And they'll say, well, because I don't hear him. See, they've already made up their mind, I can't hear, so I'm going to go to man. Well, what if man gives you the wrong answer? I'm just saying. This is the method of complete success and victory in every area. Have you struggled to receive your healing? Stop going to man. Ooh, that was mean, wasn't it? If you've been going to man for 30 years and you haven't received it yet, guess what? He's not the answer. If you're doing the same thing over and over and it's not working, it's not working. And it's not wrong to, with humility and reverence, go to the Holy Spirit and say, can you help me understand this? Because I'm missing something. I know the problem's not you. I have learned that much. I know the problem isn't God. I know he's good and his word promises my healing or whatever the promise is. And I know, according to Isaiah 53, that it's mine by covenant right, that Jesus died for me to have it, that he took my infirmity. So what's the problem? It's not you because you're perfect, holy, and good. And your goodness is beyond anything I've ever known. It can't be you. But between you and me, there's a problem. Now, it could be the second heaven. It could be there's demonic warfare and I haven't learned to pray enough to take them out. That's a different subject for a different day. Some of you need to brush up on your expertise in warfare and you need to go for the juggler, the enemy's juggler. You need to learn how to fight and win. You need to learn to go after till you get it. Stop hoping it'll come along. You know, in that weak American kind of hope, the real hope is, the real word hope in the Bible is an expectation. It's real close to faith. It's an expectation of a desired result. Some of you need to learn how to fight. How long do you fight till you win? Because it's already yours, it's already been given to you. And the problem isn't God, and your fight is not with God. And if you're still fighting with God, Job, go read those last couple chapters. I don't mean to be mean, but there's not a lot of time. If you're still fighting with God, I promise you the issue is not God. And I promise you, you are not more righteous than him. If there's a problem, and there is, there often is, it could be a devil. It could be witchcraft. It could be some poor decision somebody made. It could be a problem with your soulish realm. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. We could talk about that for a week, but if your soul is out of order, meaning your mind, your will, and your emotions, if you have some issues in there, did you know they can cause issues out here? Some sicknesses are based on soul issues. Yes, some are warfare. Some are spiritual in nature. We know this from the scriptures. There are times when you could see Jesus would cast out a devil and the person was healed. He didn't heal them, he cast out the devil, right? Deaf and dumb spirit, come out. Person's healed. But he didn't really, per se, issue a healing, did he? No, he got rid of the dumb devil. Yet there's other cases where a creative miracle was required, right? And he issued a healing, right? By the way, how did he know to do that? From the Holy Ghost. He said, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father in heaven doing. How in the world does an earthly man see what his Father in heaven is doing? They have developed a relationship. Now, in your body, is everybody in here born again? Okay. If you're born again, then in your physical body, the Bible says this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is huge. If you want to know how exciting that is, read about the real temple. When it got filled with the glory. Come on. The priest couldn't even stand up to minister because the glory was so powerful. That is who we are being compared to there. Come on. Your physical body is the house of glory, the house of God, the temple of the Spirit. Jesus Christ going somewhere to happen. That's why people say, Jesus, come into my heart. What are they really saying? give me a new wineskin, give me a new born-again spirit, then fill it with the power of God just like you did Jesus. Yes, just like you filled him, right? Because listen, before the River Jordan, he never did a miracle in his life. There's no recorded miracle until he got filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Come on, do you get it? Even Paul, right? It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. He had learned how to yield to the Spirit in him, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost in you, that's Christ in you. And so you need to get to know him. He's a person. Now, for those of you that haven't heard me talk about this before, and I know some of you have, the Father's in heaven, right? He sits on the throne of heaven, which I believe is the center of the universe. I believe all creation came out of his mouth. Seated at his right hand is Jesus Christ, right? The Bible says so. Well, who's here on this earth? The Holy Spirit. He was given to live with you, walk with you, talk with you, mentor you, lead and guide you into all truth. His Spirit communicates with our spirit, the will of God. Who knows the will of God but the Holy Ghost? He is the go-between between you and the throne. And whether you know it or not, he is the best friend you have in this earth. People will betray you, but the Holy Spirit ever lives to hear you say, what do I do now? Teach me this, teach me that. I don't get it. Help me. Help me understand. Open my eyes to see. He is living in your house. You know, most churches, I'm not trying to be mean, but most churches have solidly ignored the presence of the Spirit, disrespected him without even knowing it. Acting like we have the ability to do this. No, you don't. Here, I'll give you a classic example. Here's a classic example. A guy gets called with a great calling. He has an encounter, and he knows, I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to do this in the ministry. And so he takes off to go and do it, and it fails. And he can't understand why. Why did it fail? I know God told me to do this. I know for a fact. I remember the night. I had this dream. I had this vision. It was confirmed by two or three people, and yet it failed utterly. Why? Because he tried to do it in his own strength, in his own ability. And he doesn't have the ability. He has it in him, but not in his flesh. So he used, pardon me for saying it, programs and strategies that he probably got out of a book from some smart man, right? And then sometimes we see it fail, and I'm not condemning the guy because people have not understood this. But if we understood it, we take that book and we say, praise the Lord, Lord, what do you say to me? And he might say, you know, I got another way for you. I remember when I ended up in ministry full time, and it wasn't exactly in the plan. I used to want that, you know, until I went through enough years of ministry on part time, and then I said, I don't want that anymore. And I was working, and God arranged for that job to end. And so I said, Lord, you've always gotten me my jobs. Where do you want me to work next? He said, you're going to work for me. And I thought, oh, man, that is not funny, and we are not amused. But, of course, that's not really what I said. What I really said was, okay, but that means you're responsible for everything. You're responsible for all the finances, because I had seen what came in. You know, I'm telling you, you know, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked. And I said, so from this day, you're my boss. I don't know how you're going to do it, but my paycheck comes from you. And I said, so what do you want? How do you want me to do this? Because I knew what we had been doing certainly would not, you know, wouldn't have done it. And he said, I want you, and he gave me an instruction. I won't tell you what it was. And it made no sense, but I know him. And I know when he tells you to do something, just do it. Just do it. Because he knows what he's talking about. It made no sense. Still doesn't make sense. And I began to do it, and I saw no benefit. Well, I saw benefit to other people. But I didn't see any financial benefit from it. In fact, it went quite the other way. But I just kept doing it. I just kept doing it. I just kept doing it because he said to do it. And behold, one day I looked up, and because I was doing it, suddenly all these connections had happened. People I'd never heard of suddenly knew us. Pastors we'd never met or heard of were suddenly connected and calling us saying, come and speak here. Because I did that thing that I didn't really want to do that made no sense. See, obeying God, he will often tell you to do something that makes no sense. You know what we do? We've trained our flesh to be supreme. We know better than God. You know, that's really what you're saying when you say, well, I don't think that couldn't be God because A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So it couldn't be God because it doesn't make sense. Listen, a lot of what God tells you to do doesn't make sense. Right?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense a lot of times to our understanding because God's got the aerial view. You don't. God can see the future. You can't. He knows what's in the heart of man. You don't. It's like being in a corn maze. And all you can see is corn. And if you're in there long enough, it can be maddening and frustrating. You know, at first it was fun. Now it's not so fun. Get me out of this stupid, dumb maze. Right, left, back, forth. Can't get out. Can't get me out of this stupid maze. Just want to crawl under the thing. But see, God's got the aerial view. Turn right. Well, that doesn't make sense. Okay. You know what he'll say? He doesn't say this, but this is my paraphrase. Okay. Have at it. And then things go badly, and you say, well, I got the judgment of God because I disobeyed. Well, no, not really, but you could have had the blessing, and you could have had it a lot faster. I'm telling you, there's a fast track to success, and it's getting the will of God and doing it. It's following what he says when it makes no sense at all. It's like he said, the man who hears my words and doesn't do them, oh well. He's like a guy with his house on the sand. The winds blow, the floods come, the rains descend, and down fell the house, and great was the fall of it. Not because I didn't tell you what to do, because you wouldn't do what I said. He says that's the difference. Both people here. But one guy says, oh, I don't think I'm right. I don't think that could be God because blah, 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 blah. Oh, okay, so wait a minute. Let me just push the slowdown button. What you're saying is, really, you're smarter than God and you know better than him. Isn't that what you're saying? Yes, Holly, that is. And I know because I've done it. The guy that builds his house on the rock, he's the guy that hears the same words and does them. God is looking for a people to manifest himself through in every way imaginable that he could manifest himself. God, believe this or not, God would love to take over the world. God would love to win the lost. God would love to raise the sick, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out devils. That's what he likes to do. That's his thing. He's looking for people. Saying, well, I don't know if God wants to use me. Yeah, he does. The issue isn't that God doesn't want to use you. God wants to use you more than you want to be used. But there are some issues in our soul we need to deal with. We need to deal with our stuff and our attitudes. And in some cases, I'm just trying to be gentle, but there's some people that need to deal with rebellion. You know what rebellion looks like? Just talking to somebody, not looking at anybody. But if you come to understand the pearl of great price, I pray over everyone in this room that God will give you an understanding, a revelation of what it could be like. Because if you see that even once, you will pay any price. You will pay any price. You will change anything, repent of anything, leave anything, break anything. God says to you, that's an idol. Done. Get out of my life. You'll do anything to get the pearl of great price once you see it. The problem with most believers is they've never really seen what it could be. Imagine being like Jesus, really. You were born to be, you were born again to be, and you were filled with the Spirit to be, but most of us haven't yet learned how to do it. We're all learning, but many of us are resisting instead of learning. And what I learned a long time ago is that it's up to us, and we can make choices every day that go, no, I'm not going any further. I'm good the way I am. I don't need to change. What do you mean I need to change, Holly? You know what I want to change? Everything. I want to change anything and everything. I don't care how small it is. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how much I can justify it. If it is blocking me from walking in the same manner as him in the fullness, out. I want it out. If I need to repent, I will repent. If I need to apologize, I will apologize. If I need to pray and fast until that thing is gone, I will do so. I will not be satisfied with living life as just another Christian. I'm not satisfied. Are you satisfied? This can't be right. I love you, but this can't be right. We should be taking the place by storm, all of us. And Jesus has already paid for this. This is what gets me. He's already paid for it in blood. It's all ours by covenant right already. But this is a thing, I believe. I believe he's already purchased full authority for all, full covenant right for all. It's not that we gain more, but it's that we're able to access more when we get the crud out. There's a blockage. There's a hindrance, and it's me. It's not him. God is limitless, and he desires for his children to be used in the fullness every day, all the time. And he never does it based on your righteousness. You didn't have any, and I didn't have any. He gave us Jesus, and there, how about now? The full righteousness of Jesus Christ living in your body and your born-again spirit. Boom, you're holy. How about now? Will you do it now? Oh, no, wait, you're still saying you're not worthy? Okay, so you just don't want to believe me. You just want to believe what the devil says about you instead of what I say about you. And you can keep doing that for another 60 years. Is that what you want to do? Or do you want to choose to believe what the Word of God says about you? Come on, I'm trying to challenge it. Because I'm telling you, God has put no limits on us, but we have limits. Limits in our thinking, limits in our faith, limits because of emotional crud that needs to get dealt with, limits because people hurt us. All of us have that stuff. We've all, listen, if your name isn't Jesus of Nazareth, you've probably gotten beat up a few times, bad-mouthed a few times, betrayed a few times, dumped a few times. We've all had it. Everybody's got stuff, but you don't have to keep your stuff. And the Holy Spirit, I know Christians that have been going to therapists for years. One session with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes one session with the Holy Ghost just unties it. Because you know why? See, your therapist cannot look inside you and say, oh, sweetie, I see the problem. But the Holy Ghost can. I'll never forget being bound for 8 years. Tried everything I knew, and all I knew was, I can't fix this. I've tried everything I know. I've fasted, I've prayed, I've done everything I can think of. I've yelled, I've, you know, prayed in tongues, I've fasted, you name it, I did it. Nothing works. I went to the Lord and said, I don't have the ability to fix this, but you do. I'm throwing myself on the mercy of the court. I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. I find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to come every day, and I believe you're going to free me. And one day, I said, Lord, what is my problem? Why am I like this? One sentence. He said, you're looking for your father in every man you meet. And in 1 minute, I was free. Free forever. Free for decades now, without ever so much as a single thought. Free. See, the Holy Ghost, he's the real counselor. And we're going to people because we don't know any better. Have the courage to go to him. Don't worry if you don't hear his voice. He'll find a way to get it to you. Read your word, ask your questions. Many times you'll just answer from the word, or many times you'll ask the question, you'll go to a meeting and God will speak it through the preacher. You'll say, how did they know? They didn't, but you sought the Holy Spirit who used a person's mouth. Okay, that's the way it works. That's the cycle. You ask God, he responds through somebody, anybody, doesn't matter. Can be a donkey, doesn't matter who. Anybody that's got a tongue in their face that they're willing to let the Holy Spirit use, okay? They're not special. They're no more gifted than you, right? But you asked him, you placed a draw, you said, I want an answer, help me understand what's going on. Teach me. He'll find a way to get you the news, okay? God wants to raise you up. He wants you to be the temple of the living God, so full of the power that people can't stand up by you. But what is that? That's how it happened to John G. Lake. He would try to shake hands with people and they'd go flying. It's so much of Jesus. He was just trying to meet him. Hello. Boom. What happened? He was the temple of the living God. And they could not take the glory that the level of glory he was walking in. See, it's a, you know, it's something you grow in. You know, you don't go boom. You go ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. You grow and you grow and you grow and you grow. Every year you should be growing in the glory. Every year you should be growing in the amount of the presence that you carry and deliver. Okay? That's what God wants for you. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Okay.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.